The Supreme Court will address the historic question of presidential immunity. Without presidential immunity, the president cannot function, as his political opponents will blackmail and extort him with the threat of wrongful persecution.
From Supreme Court cases, criminal sentences, and candidates clawing for the coveted vice presidential seat, it's all coming to a head for Donald Trump. Our panel of experts join us as we count down to the Republican National Convention. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and you are watching Perspective. The Supreme Court ruled former President Donald Trump may have some immunity from his prosecutions related to his actions after the 2020 election, dramatically undercutting special counsel Jack Smith's case. Now, the majority 6-3 decision found a former president is entitled to presumptive immunity for all official acts, but it held there is no immunity for unofficial acts. Now, since April, the high court has been tolling over its decision in Trump versus United States. Now, this stems from special counsel Jack Smith's 4-count indictment, alleging Trump attempted to subvert the 2020 election results, and he intended for the January 6 riot to happen. Now, the central issue in the case was whether Trump is immune from prosecution because he was the president. Now, Smith argued Trump's actions actually fell outside the scope of presidential duties and should not be protected. Now, all of this comes on the heels of the landmark decision when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the January 6 defendants and former Pennsylvania police officer Joseph Fisher. The 6-3 decision significantly affects the Justice Department's approach to prosecuting not only the more than 350 riot defendants, but also Donald Trump. There is still one more court case we have talked about in length on the show, Trump's hush money trial. All of this is setting the stage for the opening of this week's 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which at the time, Trump should be officially recrowned the leader of the Republican Party. Well, let us discuss with our panel. Steve Giorno, who is the chair of the Young Republicans in Tennessee and a delegate at large on the RNC Rules Committee. Next is a good friend of the show, talk show host Steve Malzberg. And last, but definitely not least, Malik Abdul, who is our go-to political analyst. Gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for joining the show today. Well, it's interesting, Steve Malzberg, because like I said, we have the RNC coming up, but this is all with the Supreme Court wrapping up their session. And I have to ask you, how do the Supreme Court cases actually impact, do you think, these were Trump's remaining cases? And do you think this gives him a better chance of appeal in the hush money case?
Oh, absolutely, because the judge in the hush money case allowed the topic of what he did as president to be brought up. So, you know, there's a chance that this sentencing will be delayed until after the convention, way after the convention, at the very least. Look, I think the American public is really fed up. I think it's becoming less and less of a surprise if he winds up in jail. You know, it's almost like, okay, we expect this. But I agree with Stevie, kind of. I think it will motivate people more to say, what the heck is going on in this country? How is this possible in this country, especially in light of the Supreme Court ruling? And by the way, aside from that case, as you asked, the cases going forward, the other cases that is yet to be adjudicated, none of them, I'd be shocked if any of them are carried out before the election. So that's a major win for Donald Trump in that respect. So we'll have to wait and see. But nothing would shock me. Nothing would surprise me. This judge never should have been allowed or allowed himself to be in charge of the case. And he should have removed himself and recused himself. He didn't. So in my mind, anything's possible.
Well, I have to ask you, Malik, because as I listened to the debate a few weeks ago between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, one thing I did glean is Donald Trump did point out, just as Steve DiGiorno just pointed out, that if the president is put into jail, it's what people in communist countries do, that they jail their opponent. Do you think that this actually, that debate right there actually kind of, as you pointed out, showed that if Trump is thrown in jail, that basically he was predicting exactly what Biden was going to do to him and was already pointing the finger, sort of setting the stage like he's done with everything else that's happened to him over the past few years?
Well, I was you made my point at the end, because this is something Donald Trump has been saying over the years now. Republicans obviously feel as if that there has been a lot of lawfare conducted against Donald Trump, starting before he even got in office with the Russia collusion investigation. So this is something that Donald Trump has been saying for a while. I think it's something that benefits him. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we don't expect him to be going to jail or anything like that. But Donald Trump has a lot of ammunition going into the convention, but also going into November, with what we saw in a couple of weeks ago with what seems to be a very diminished Joe Biden while in office. I think that Donald Trump is actually poised. And because of his debate performance, that many people, they didn't expect Donald Trump to actually do as well as he did. In that type of situation, where they were downplaying and really underestimating Donald Trump, you just give him the opportunity to outperform. And I think that's what we saw at the debate.
Well, that's the thing, Steve Giorno, and I apologize for butchering your name. Local talk show host in Nashville is why I kind of always get you guys confused. You're going to be there. You're going to be on the floor. You are a delegate. You're also on a very, very popular committee, from what I've been told, the platform committee. There are rumors that the GOP is going to be making changes in the platform regarding abortion and gay marriage. Now, I will tell you, it has been denied by everybody within the campaign. They're saying this is just liberals trying to stir up trouble beforehand, that no actual platform negotiations have been happening. However, Donald Trump has stated his views on abortion during an interview, and he said the power should go back to the states. Let's listen on the All In podcast.
To put it simply, it's now up to the states. And like Ronald Reagan, I'm a believer in the exceptions, the three exceptions, as you know, and rape, incest, life of the mother.
So you wouldn't support a national ban?
No, I wouldn't support a national ban. No, I would not.
Okay, Steve, you're going to be in on those meetings with those conversations. Do you think that the RNC platform is going to change in those areas to reflect Donald Trump and the Supreme Court's decision regarding abortion and potentially gay marriage?
Well, I've heard a lot of the rumors. I don't think they're true. I'm not on the platform committee. I'm on the rules committee. My mom's on the platform committee. And from everything I've heard, she has said that there are not going to be any changes. We're going to leave it up to the states. That's what the Supreme Court has decided. One of the things I'm most excited about being at this convention for is the amount of young Republicans we're going to have at this convention. Tennessee is leading the country. We have 17 delegates or alternates who are going to be with our delegation. And so I think it'll be a great advertisement for our Republican Party. I think it's a great advertisement for President Trump and the work he's done with people that don't traditionally vote Republican. You know, when you look at young people, you look at minorities. I think what we need to do is go up there and provide a clear picture of what we want to do to help the American people recover from the last 4 years of this disaster of a presidency. But no, I don't think there'll be any changes. I think we're going to leave it to the states where it belongs, and we're going to make our case to the American people.
Well, Steve, I think it's amazing. You're probably one of the first, and if not the only, mother-son duos that were able to be elected as delegate. Congratulations to you and your mother. Obviously, you'll be having conversations about it. I do want to ask Malzberg, though, normally, and Malzberg, you've covered many conventions on both Republicans and Democrat side in your years in media. I get it. Sometimes they don't release their entire schedule, security reasons, whatever it might be. However, this year, I feel like it's been even more secretive. Do you think that's on purpose? And what do Republicans outside of the base need to hear from the stage every night that week to try to convince them that Donald Trump and all the candidates down ballot is the place they need to vote come November?
I think they have to make a great contrast, not only talk about, Joe Biden's lack of mental competence, but they have to paint a picture, a realistic picture of what this country would be like if any Democrat, whether it's Joe Biden or anybody else, under Kamala Harris, under Gavin Newsom, under anyone, what they want to do to this country, what they want to do to the Supreme Court, what they're doing and would continue to do with the border, right on down the list, crime, police, everything. This would be a chaotic country. And I really do hope that that whoever speaks at that convention is educated and knows what's going on. You know, I'm so sick of hearing about Donald Trump violence. You know, we had Joe Biden said, I want to beat the hell out of Donald Trump, take him behind the gym. Cory Booker, sitting senator, said, my testosterone makes me want to punch him in the face. Robert De Niro, who does commercials for Biden, says, I want to punch him. I mean, but Republicans don't know enough to bring these things up. They have to educate the country to things that the country ordinarily wouldn't know. That's incumbent upon them.
Okay, but I have to ask you, Malik, talking about the unity that should be existing with the Republican Party right now, do you think the fact that we don't have a list of speakers out, we don't know who's going to be appending, we don't even have themes for the night, for every night right now, do you think that has to do with a lot of the lack of unity that Democrats charge is existing right now within the Republican Party as reflected by their convention?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. And typically, this is something that, of course, the RNC would control. But a speaker's list, I don't think that most voters, at least most Republican voters, are concerned about the list of speakers. They're concerned about seeing Donald Trump in the Republican Party advocating for Vision 4. And I actually have been one of those who said that Donald Trump needed to articulate a path forward for Republicans on abortion. And he not only did that in the podcast, and the benefit of that podcast is because by the time Donald Trump got in the debate, he was able to articulate that very same thing where he had told, he said he does not support a national ban, but he does support those three exceptions. That was a very important thing. And I honestly believe, and you know, I'm not in the RNC or in that space, but I do believe that it would benefit the Republican Party to have as part of its platform what the titular head of the party articulated. How can you claim to be a party where you want to present a vision forward and you don't have that clearly articulated when you know that it's going to be an election year issue? So I think that Republicans, if they don't have something on abortion in there, or even gay marriage for that matter, it is dropping the ball unnecessarily in ways that we simply cannot afford.
Yes, Steve.
I'm sorry. But they have to point out, as Trump tried to do in the debate, that when Kamala Harris and the rest of them say you can't tell a woman what to do with her body, that means right up at no restrictions. It means no restrictions. And that only about 30-something% of the country is there. They have to hammer that point home.
Unified talking points. Very important. Steve Malzberg, Steve Giarno, Malik Abdul. Stay right there. Because after the break, we're going to continue our preview of the Republican National Convention and talk about Republicans' number one target, Joe Biden, and if he will stay that way for long. Welcome back to Perspective. I'm your host, Scotty Nell Hughes. Now, recent rumors regarding the mental state of President Joe Biden have caused even his biggest allies, aka the media, to question whether or not he is the best candidate Democrats have to offer in November. Even Time Magazine making this cover showcasing Biden's debate performance, putting Democrats in what can only be described as a state of panic. Now, conservatives have been questioning Biden's cognizant behavior for years, but it was only following the first debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump that even the media had to accept the current president of the United States' confused state.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do dealing with everything we have to do with, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
When I was vice president, down to a 6. By the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf with you if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
Let's not act like children.
You are a child. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Now, many Biden surrogates blamed the performance on Biden having a cold or even the lack of teleprompter. But days later, the night of the Supreme Court ruling on Trump's immunity, Biden could not keep his script straight.
I concur with Justice Sotomayor's dissent today. Here's what she said. She said, in every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law. With fear for our democracy, I dissent. End of quote.
But does this mean Democrats will replace? And what effect does this have on the Republican National Convention? Well, let's bring back in our panel. Steve Giorno is chair of the Young Republicans of Tennessee and a delegate at large on the RNC Rules Committee. Got that one correct this time. Talk show host Steve Malzberg and political analyst Malik Abdul. Thank you so much for sticking with us. I want to start with you. Steve, on this one. Do you feel the Democrats will actually stick with Joe Biden?
Yes,
Steve,
I do.
Malzberg?
Steve Malzberg.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I kind of think they do. You know why? Because Jill Biden apparently will not let them convince him otherwise. I mean, this is disgusting. This is elder abuse. It really is. I mean, you know, his facial expressions during the debate were probably worse than what he actually said. And that's pretty, pretty bad. Who are they going to go to? How do they snub Kamala Harris? That's what I've never really understood. Oh, Gavin Newsom, oh, Michelle Obama, and I've been guilty of that too. Oh, this one, oh, that one, the governor of Michigan. But what about Kamala Harris? She's a woman of color. She's a vice president. Shouldn't she be the heir apparent? And if they snub her, that's not going to be good for them. But if they pick her in his place, that's going to be a bigger disaster for them. So they're stuck between a rock and a hard place here. And I think they're going to probably, unless there's some unforeseen circumstance, because we do have months and months to go, it's going to be Joe Biden, because Jill Biden loves the perks that come with the gig, and she's not ready to give it up.
Okay, Giorno, let me do it that way. Do you think the GOP also, though, needs to focus on all of those cast of characters that Steve Malzberg just mentioned and point out the faults of all of other nominees just in case something happens and Joe Biden is replaced?
I do. I think we need to make the case that this is where the Democrat Party is today. It's not the same Democrat Party as even 20, 15 years ago. This is a radical leftist party. It doesn't matter who their nominee is, whether it's Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or anyone else. They all believe these things. But we've really got to drive home the point that the disaster that's going on in our country and the disasters happening across the world are because Joe Biden doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know, you know, what is going on around him. And it's very, very sad. It's elder abuse. I think the Biden family should be ashamed of themselves and everyone who's propping Joe up. But I think he will be the nominee, and I think they're going to try to get him across the finish line, and then the second day of his presidency, have him resign and have someone who knows what's going on take over. And I think it's that's awful that that's going on in our country today. We have fallen so far so quickly.
And that's interesting that we even have to think in that perspective. I don't think any time in history have we had that kind of conversation. But it's funny that you mention the person who's behind the president, Malik. Let's go back to the Republicans and Trump, because a high-dollar fundraiser saw Trump's VP hopefuls flock to Atlanta, all to support the Republican nominee. Now, according to this invitation, it was a $25,000 donation. It gave you a seat at the dinner table with all of the vice presidential contenders. Now, let me give you the short list. Dr. Ben Carson, Governor Doug Burgum, Senator Marco Rubio, Senator J.D. Vance, Representative Elise Stefanik, Representative Byron Donalds, Senator Tim Scott, Representative Wesley Hunt, and a few others all attended this high-dollar watch party. One major clue, though, that the campaign was starting to lean towards somebody was actually observed as Trump's director of surrogates was seen leading around J.D. Vance. Now, Trump has yet to announce his pick for vice president, but if and when he does, do you think it's going to have any effect, positive or negative, on Trump's popularity?
Yeah, so typically vice presidential candidates, they don't make a lot of noise. They usually just fill a void that a president has. In the case of Mike Pence had congressional experience, government experience, and he had a real sway with evangelicals. With Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney had the federal government experience. Joe Biden had the experience. In this case, it won't be experience that will be what Donald Trump will need. It will be the security, the confidence that people have that he has someone to moderate him. Donald Trump, and this is why I have a problem with people being thrown out there like a Byron Donalds or even J.D. Vance at this point. Donald Trump doesn't need someone who's essentially a carbon copy of himself. He needs someone who's able to get in there to work with Congress, something that I don't think that the many others would do. Anyone who knows me know that my favorite, my number one person is Senator Tim Scott, because I believe that Senator Tim Scott would not only help Donald Trump win, he would help Donald Trump govern and create a legacy after Donald Trump leaves. If either of those other candidates, be it Marco Rubio or others, these are not legacy building candidates. And for all intents and purposes, they're simply extensions of the America First movement, which I support, but that won't be what Donald Trump needs to get elected and have an effective presidency. And he's only able to serve one term.
Okay, Malik, I understand where you're coming from, and thank you for the justification. But I got to throw it to Steve Malzberg on this one. Isn't that what Donald Trump had, though, with Mike Pence? And he had someone that was kind of on that sort of get together, more of the establishment wing. How did that work out well for him, especially in times of trouble?
Yeah, no, to a great extent, you're absolutely correct. And let me throw a name out there, which Nikki Haley. I don't agree with Nikki Haley on so many issues. But to the point that was just made, you know, you need someone, her appeal to the people that will not vote for Donald Trump, to the dissatisfied Republicans, to the people who are going to stay home, to independents who are undecided or really say, I just can't pull the lever for Trump for whatever reason. Nikki Haley will bring them all on board. It won't even be a contest anymore. And she's been out of the limelight ever since she said she is going to vote for Trump. And, you know, Trump's a showman and a TV guy and a media guy. And I'm thinking the same names keep coming up. They have been for months. Maybe he brings in Nikki Haley and, you know, people will be unhappy. But I think the country that the people he needs to get to pull the lever will be, whoa, and they will vote for him. It won't be close. Nikki Haley, please, Donald, Nikki Haley.
Wow. Okay, that was not the answer I was expecting out of Steve Mulder. Okay, but talking about, you know, that sort of gasp of people as they held the lever, Steve Giorno, you'd be on the floor at the RNC. You have all Trump delegates, majority of them that would be on the floor. How do you think Republicans at this point would respond to Nikki Haley walking out on the stage, even if Trump appointed her vice president?
Well, I think it'd be a hard decision for a lot of people, but I think we have to remember that, you know, Ronald Reagan said, you know, if you're with someone 80%, that doesn't make them 20% your enemy. We have got to stop what's going on right now. And the only way we can do that is through party unity. You know, I support what President Trump decides. And if he says that she is the right fit for him and can help him get the job done, then I'm going to support our president, because look at everything he's sacrificed for us. I'm sure a lot of people can get over the fact that they may not like Nikki Haley if President Trump says, this is the person I need in order to do the job that you all want me to do.
Giorno, more diplomatic than probably most people who are three times your age in politics today. Bravo to that one. Okay, so let's actually, before we leave, I have to ask about the protesters, because it's always guaranteed there's going to be protesters at a convention. So I want to ask each one of you, who or which groups right now are most angry with Republicans today? Malik, I'll start with you.
Well, I'll just jump out here and say it. I am an absolute hard no on Nikki Haley being Donald Trump's vice president. But I think that the problem that both sides will have, you'll have a lot of Democrats, ironically, protesting Donald Trump at the RNC convention, but you'll have Democrats protesting Biden at the Democratic convention with a lot of the pro-Palestinian protesters, who I believe will probably be out.
Okay, Steve Malzberg, yours?
Yeah, I think it's going to just be a lot of professional left-wing, you know, protesting groups that'll be out there. I can't think of any specific group, a combination, some pro-Palestinians and, you know, women's groups, abortion, pro-abortion, blah, blah, blah. But I think the Democrats are really going to be the ones facing the hardcore protests out there from the pro-Palestinians and the hardcore progressives.
And Stevie Giorno, you're going to be there. What protesters are you looking forward to seeing the most as your bus goes through all of the layers of security?
Well, I'm sure we'll have the George Soros-funded people that we had in 2020 and, of course, at the college campuses now. But I think, you know, that some of the people who are most upset with the Republican Party and just government in general is just the American people. They want to see something happen rather than people just get up and give the same talking points. They want to know how we're going to help them get out of the current economic situation we find ourselves in.
Well, thank you so much, the three of you, for joining us. Thank you to our panel, Stevie Giorno, Steve Malzberg, Malik Abdul.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Political conventions can be a lot of fun and a great way to get the base excited about all of their candidates. Now, normally, the excitement comes from inspiring speakers, patriotic themes, and, of course, the show surrounding the presidential candidate. However, this year's Republican National Convention also brings with it the element of surprise, mystery, and of course, shock because of all of the different unknown variables. Now, I've attended multiple RNC and DNC starting back in 2004, and I will be the first to tell you that this year's schedule and list of speakers seem to be under very tight wraps. The expected chaos has escalated to almost the feeling of giving up and just going with the flow to see what happens next. But in the end, regardless of whether President Trump is in person or in a jail cell, he will accept the Republican nomination for president. Then the real work for his supporters begins. But hey, that's just my perspective. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes. Thanks for watching.